puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
One of my favorite times of the morning, and I know it's yours as well, because you tell us in your emails. It's Abandoned Manitoba, and we welcome Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society once again. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
And your clue last week left me interested in what we're going to be talking about today, because I kind of cheated a bit and I looked up one of these names. I'm excited about this. Remind us of the clue from last week.
I said that we're going to answer the question, what do George Baroni and Alpine Archie have to do with Manitoba abandonment?
Let's consider this question one piece at a time, though. Who's George Baroni?
Well, Giorgio Baroni, known as George, came to Canada from his native Italy in 1951 at the age of 35. He settled with his family in Transcona, and having trained as a sculptor in Rome, he initially found work designing plaques and figurines for a local firm. And later, he was a set designer for CBC Television.
Uh-huh.
But his true calling was sculpture. And in the early 1960s, he established a sculpture business, working in such media as wood, bronze, granite, and marble. But in 1966, he pioneered a radically new medium for sculpture that he believed was superior to all of those other materials.
What was it?
Well, Baroni started with a steel mesh frame in the general shape of the final sculpture. He then covered the mesh with numerous layers of fiberglass cloth, then coated the fiberglass in a mixture of resin and marble dust. He was so confident in this medium that he claimed it was bulletproof and would last forever, unlike other sculptures made from fiberglass. You know, for example, at the entrance to the Union Stockyards on Marion Street, at one time, there was a large sculpture of a Hereford steer.
Yes.
And it was made in 1967 from fiberglass. Unfortunately, in 1989, the steer was set upon by vandals and utterly destroyed. It just didn't stand up. By comparison, Baroni's sculptures, although they were hollow, are still as strong today as when they were first unveiled. And the first of them was in 1966. And unlike bronze and stone that have no other color than that of the material itself, Baroni's new medium could use colored resins to make the final sculpture colorful in a way that, well, it never needed repainting, for one thing. However, his first commission using this new material was uncolored for a very good reason.
And what was the first sculpture that George Baroni made?
He was hired by the Manitoba Tourist Association with financial support from the White Horse Distillers of Glasgow, Scotland, to create a large sculpture of a white horse, of course, uncolored.
Mm-hmm.
It was unveiled at the junction of Highway 26 and the Trans-Canada Highway in September of 1966, the white horse symbolizing an Indigenous legend about a white horse, the beautiful daughter of an Assiniboine chief, and a Cree suitor for her hand. This was Baroni's first, but by no means only, major public sculpture, and he did several others through the late 1960s, 1970s, until his last one in 1981.
Right, and so this white horse is how people signify that you're getting close or are at the RM of St. Francis Xavier.
Exactly right.
So you talk about these other sculptures. One of my favorites is in here. What were they?
Among his known works are the Viking statue in Gimli,
right,
the High Neighbor Sam on Regent Avenue in Transcona,
mm-hmm,
the Tommy the Turtle in Boisvane, Sarah the Camel in Glenboro. There's a sharp-tailed grouse, a large one, in Ashern.
Right.
And his final major public commission was called the Miner, or sometimes called the King Miner, in Thompson. But these are undoubtedly just a few of his many creations, and the whereabouts of most of them probably are, you know, unknown. In the 1960s, for instance, Baroni created a large fiberglass bison that he eventually sold to the provincial government. Its present whereabouts, completely unknown. He sculpted the Berger family, and probably listeners will know what I mean when I say Berger family, holding hamburgers and mugs of root beer for a prominent restaurant chain.
A&W.
There was a 2-ton statue of a Triceratops dinosaur one of his first creations in the 1960s, that as of 1992, I found a reference in a newspaper saying that it was sitting in the yard of a house in Fort Garry. No idea where it is now. Outside Manitoba, well, Baroni created a statue of Winnie the Pooh for the community of White River, Ontario, which also has connections to the Winnie the Pooh origin story. And Baroni sculpted a variety of works in British Columbia after moving there in 1980.
I'll confess that my favorite of his sculptures, of course, High Neighbor Sam in Transcona. It sat on the Crossroads Shopping Center parking lot for years and years and years. Of course, Crossroads Shopping Center used to be the home of Woolco, now located further down region, but we pass that all the time going to visit my grandparents when I was a young kid, and I loved seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, it sat in front of a Canadian Tire for a while, too.
It was there, too.
Yeah. They started calling him the Canadian Tire guy, but I guess in the last few years, he's been moved back onto the boulevard of Regent Avenue.
Yeah, a little further east. So where does Alpine Archie come into this story?
Well, of course, this is another one of the Baroni sculptures. It was commissioned in 1978 by the town of McCreary and the McCreary Chamber of Commerce. It's an 18-foot-high, 3,000-pound statue of a sort of a boyish cartoon character wearing a toque, winter clothes and boots, and holding a pair of skis.
Why the pair of skis?
Well, he was intended to draw attention to the fact that the year after he was unveiled, the area hosted the downhill skiing events of the 1979 Canada Winter Games.
So why was there skiing in McCreary? I mean, that's it's not very hilly there, is it?
No, true, but it is close to the eastern slopes of the Riding Mountains. And of course, that's not a major mountains in the global scheme of things, but certainly high enough by prairie standards. In 1961, a group of skiers opened what was called the Mount Agassiz Ski Area, right, west of McCreary, inside the boundaries of Riding Mountain National Park. The facility, though, got a major boost in 1979 when it hosted skiers from the Canada Winter Games. They were held in mid-February at Brandon, but because Brandon is not known for its mountainous terrain either, events requiring a bit of topography were moved to Mount Agassiz. They put in new ski runs in preparation for the event, and they put in Manitoba's first chairlift.
And so where's the abandonment come into this story?
Well, unfortunately, business at Mount Agassiz began to decline in the early 1990s, and the operator of the ski lift declared bankruptcy in 1995 and again in 2000. A local group there in McCreary hoped to take it over, but their offer was refused, apparently because a competing group involved with another ski facility in western Manitoba wanted to basically eliminate the competition. Consequently, the chalet, the ski runs at Mount Agassiz sat abandoned for 15 years until Parks Canada announced plans for their demolition. Despite very vigorous protests in McCreary, this demolition was done in 2015.
So what's it look like there now?
Well, most of the buildings are gone. The three chairlifts have been removed, but the ski runs themselves are still easily visible. And trails in the area, I'm told, continue to be groomed for cross-country skiing rather than downhill skiing. I visited the area earlier this year, and I found two pieces of remaining infrastructure from the old ski resort. There was a power pole that contained numerous heavy cables that presumably were used to provide power to the site for things like the nighttime lighting and to operate the snowmaking equipment, things like that. And there is one building left that used to house the ski patrol. It was later known as the Buffalo Lounge. It's been converted into a picnic shelter. Its doors, its windows have been removed, and now a wood-burning stove is the only source of interior heating. Parks Canada basically is converting the site to be used by hikers, mountain bikers, picnickers. Alpine Archie, therefore, who still stands at attention beside Highway 5 at McCreary, is really the only tangible reminder of this once thriving facility that basically attracted championship skiers from across Canada. And of course, he's also part of the legacy of sculptor George Baroni.
And quite a legacy that is, because I think that even though we didn't know who made those sculptures, we're very familiar with a lot of them. Thanks for that, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, earlier this week, we learned of the closure of the iconic Pancake House restaurant on Pembina Highway here in Winnipeg.
Right.
Well, next week, we're going to discuss its connection to a criminal hideout in the Interlake.
No way. Well, Leave it up to you to find that kind of information out and dig it up for us. We'll be looking forward to that one next Sunday, and we'll talk to you then.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.